Excited? Why don't we all stand to our feet? And because I'd hate to think you've come to hear a man speak, but I'd like to think you've come for an encounter with the God of creation. And the reality is that one encounter for him will do you for life, whoever you are. And so I want to pray for you, and we let God just have his way tonight, all right? Anything can happen and possibly will. Hang on to your hats and fasten your seatbelts when you sit down. Jesus, we want to thank you right now for the power of your love in this place. God, we give you praise that you are a miracle-working God, that we cannot deny the awesome power of your presence. But right now across this place, we release a tangible impartation of the love of God. Father, I pray that you would invade every doubt right now. In fact, right now, in Jesus' name, we destroy doubt, we break fear, and we release the power of God over your world tonight, over your experience, over your troubles. We cause them to dissolve away as the power of the love of Jesus Christ would come and break every shackle and set captives free tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody shouted. Woo-hoo-hoo. Don't get too nervous. You're in church. You'd get more nervous probably if your team was losing tonight. But I just want to tell you that Jesus won the battle at Calvary. Okay? So give Jesus a hand clap tonight. He's worthy. Thank you very much. It's absolutely fantastic. It is great to be with you here in the Tron. And I don't get down here a lot, so I want to thank Dennis, a very good friend of mine, actually, for inviting me here. You don't get invited everywhere. I don't treat it lightly to be invited here. I treat it an absolute honor to be anywhere in the world. And standing behind one of these is not something to be taken lightly. And it's not about three points in a poem or something. It's about the power of God's word. And it's about releasing something that's inside your spirit, not a mental ascent, but releasing the power of God that would touch your life tonight. So I pray in Jesus' name that you would leave here different in Jesus' name. That's what we need to do. We need to leave different. So we're going to go to the Word of God. And I'm finding my way now. My iPad's only just got charged, actually, which is so cool. And so just while we're talking, waiting for this thing to start up, here's one thing I do want to say to you tonight is that the you've taken all that resource away, those little things he showed you. Throw one of those here. They're called a USB. Where did that go? It's called a USB. I just wanted to get him in the prayer position. And so it worked. And these here, we've got all of our messages on there. I think there's 8 messages on there, so you can just get the USB if you don't want to collect all the other stuff. And I think it's all repeated on here. I'm not sure. You'd have to check on that. I think it is. Yeah, just take my word for it, okay? And but can I say this to you? All the finance from these, it's not like I'm trying to feed my own kids or any longer because I haven't got any at home, all right? I've got heaps of grandchildren. It's not a grandchildren fund either. This here goes into an orphanage that we personally support in Vietnam, where we have seen God do amazing things and amazing miracles. And it's an orphanage for the unwanted, which not many people are interested in those orphanages. It's an orphanage for children that are physically and mentally handicapped. And so we felt in God that we should get involved in that. And so we've been involved in that for the last 4 years, which is very exciting. And God is absolutely awesome in that he loves everybody. Is that true? God loves everybody. He doesn't just love a few of us. He loves everybody. God doesn't just love you if you've got it all together. He loves you when you are totally messed up. Sometimes we think church is about people who've got all their ducks in a row, but church is about people who don't even know where their ducks are. And that's how it was for me. And God discovered me, and I didn't discover him. You know what I mean? It's like he discovered me. It's like I was 25 years old, and God discovered me. God wants to discover you at your point of need. He cares about you, and he loves you, and he meets you at your point of need. And I think what a great message for the church in the world today to know that God loves people exactly how they are. In other words, you can't get good enough for God, all right? I'm still trying, And I have discovered that you cannot get good enough for God. He is just awesome, and he loves you just as you are, which is probably the most powerful message you will ever get, that God loves you the way you are. Somebody shout hallelujah on that one. And, I see you've got to hit different buttons to make the thing work. Okay. And here's what I want to read you tonight. I want you to go to Luke chapter 4. And verse 16, that's where we're going to come from tonight. Is everybody cool? Can someone get the lid off that thing? Because I can't make that happen while I'm holding the mic. It's one or the other. Drop the mic. Oh, no, I don't like that. I'll let the whole top off. Right. Yeah, thanks, mate. Screw the whole thing off. Thank you. Cheers. You all feeling good? You're looking fantastic. Have you had a good day? Yeah? How many have been at the conference all day? How many, it's your first time tonight to come to this conference? Oh, there's a few of you. This is your first time. Welcome along. It's good to be here with you tonight. This is the second time I've spoken at this conference, and it's an honor. My good friend Mark, who travels with me, one of my trustees, and a very trusty friend. And we've been friends for about, Mark, I can't remember, 20 years? But it's good to have friends in life, isn't it? Isn't it good to have friends in life? Yeah? You don't sound too excited about that. Isn't it good to have friends in life? You know, it's good to have friends. A lot of lonely people in our world today. I meet lonely people all the time. Lonely people who just haven't got anybody to connect with, haven't got anybody to share life with, haven't got anybody to do life with. And that's why I think Jesus is a fantastic friend. The Bible says he'll stick closer than you can possibly imagine. We're going to Luke chapter 4. I want to just read that to you tonight. It's Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. It simply says this, and these are the words of Jesus. You can tell because it's written in red. And even in my iPad, it's written in red, and which is pretty cool. And so it says here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Anybody feel a bit of that? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Not he will anoint you, not he might anoint you. He has anointed me. And the reality is that God wants to anoint people with his power. And that's what my message is about tonight. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Why? To preach the gospel to the poor. That doesn't mean people who have got no money. It means people who are poor in spirit, people whose life hasn't come alive, people who aren't living expectant, people who aren't living with a dream for tomorrow, people who have lost their vision and lost their hope in life. That's what poor people are, people who haven't got it all together. And he said, I have been sent to preach the gospel before. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's a good word, isn't it? Any brokenhearted people in here tonight? God's going to heal you tonight in Jesus' name, okay? Heal the broken heart. To proclaim liberty to the captives. That's a fantastic promise. To proclaim liberty to people who are in captivity. You can be in captivity to a whole lot of things. I know people who are Christians but still in captivity. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're free. I know people who are saved who can't manage their finances. I know people who are saved who can't get their marriage together. I know people who are saved who have so many habits that are controlling their life that they're simply not free. Well, Jesus came to set us free. And that's what this book is about. Sorry to call it a book, but it is a book. It's the Bible, okay? And he also went on to say, to recovery of sight to the blind. You know, I had the wonderful privilege just 2 weeks ago of praying for a blind man. And in Malaysia, I was in Malaysia preaching, and we were helping some really poor people in a very poor, and we're talking right now, poor in every realm of their lives. And I prayed for a man who was, couldn't see. What do you call that? Blind, yeah. There's another word for it. It's like you're not allowed to say blind anymore, are you? Visually impaired. There's a great word there. He couldn't see, okay? And so I had two people with me. I had a pastor with me, and I had his secretary with me. And the secretary was quite a good-looking girl, and she's got no husband. And then we had this guy who was blind, who was not good-looking in a very respectful way. He was not good looking. Even though he couldn't see, he was kind of not good looking. He wasn't good looking like me and some of you here tonight. He was not good looking. And anyway, she was a very attractive girl. And I prayed for him. And it's the power of God that opens blind eyes, right? And we prayed for him. And I thought this is a cool thing to be able to pray for someone in this capacity. And when we prayed, I then said to him, you know, isn't it funny? Sometimes you can ask, has anything happened? And you sort of say it, like, what's happening? And you're like, you can barely imagine that something may happen. Has anyone ever been here like me? Like you're like, rightio, can you see? And you're like, not a chance. You are blind. And then suddenly he gets so excited and he says, I can see! And he starts looking everywhere. And then the pastor says to him, can you see your new wife? And the girl has never been prepared for this. And she don't want to marry this guy probably. And it became very obvious that he could see her as clear as day. And he got quite excited about that thought until she got nervous about it and ran away. Anyway, that was just a very cool thing. That just came to me while I'm talking about this. He came to give recovery of sight to the blind. Blindness is actually, you don't see many blind people today. In our world, specifically in our world, you don't walk down the street. The Bible seems to have one on every page. There's a blind person here, blind person there. You don't see that many in our world. But what we do have is thousands upon thousands of people who are spiritually blind, who cannot see, who have no vision, who have nowhere to go. Mostly men, and men get attacked by blindness. You don't read of one story in the Bible where there's a blind woman. You never read one account of a blind woman. But you will read countless stories of men who are blinded and have lost their vision. Samson being one of them, who literally lost his vision when he got distracted from his cause in life. I believe there's a great cause on our lives and there's a cause of Christ. And Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because, everybody yell out, because. He has anointed me. There's a reason we're alive. Hello. There's a reason we're alive. You know, to me, there's two great promises or secrets in life is when you wake up one day and you realize that you are alive. That's a great thing to know you're alive. Like, wow, this is awesome. And the second great thing in life is to know what you are alive for. A lot of people stagger through life not realizing what they're for. 35 years ago, I discovered the reason I'm alive is to bring transformation to my world through the love of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, this is Jesus telling his job description, right? Let me read it to you one more time. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What are you here for? They were saying. And Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That was Jesus' job description. If it was good for Jesus, it's good for me. We're at a conference. It's about the presence and power of God. It's about having Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's about, this is not just about, let's hear another pretty message. This is about something that would challenge us to live the expectation of what God's doing in our lives, that it would go wider than what we are. We're not alive for ourselves. I said it this morning, but I'll say it again. I love what Pope Francis recently said, that the problem with most leadership today is that there's an I in the middle of leadership instead of an E, and we've made it all about us. There's all sorts of government leaders who are trying to make their own lives comfortable instead of making a whole world a lot better place to live in. And I believe we can change the world with the power of God in our lives. And I believe that's what we are called for. And I want to declare a little bit about that tonight. The job description of Jesus. Everybody say, the job description of Jesus is to change the world. Say it again, to change the world. And so the greatest illustration or the greatest thought I can think of in that tonight, I thought, would be the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. We all know that story. It's like a story that we all know. Let me just read it to you, and maybe you'll be challenged by it. I hope you will. Most of us know it. So let me read it out of this, actually, the New Living Translation, which is a pretty cool translation, actually. And I want you to listen to this and see what it speaks to you. Let God speak to you tonight, okay? Incidentally, before I even do that, there's at least two people here tonight that have got pain in their knee. They've got knee issues that God wants to heal those knees. And who is that, by the way? Because tonight, going to get healed in Jesus' name. Right there, one and two, right over here. God bless you. Enough for you too, sir. And but God's going to heal some knees here. In fact, come out here right now. We're going to pray for you right now. But why should you go through the meeting if you've got pain in your knee? Because God's a healing God. He's a God that came to set the captives free and bring liberty and set you free. You know, sometimes we go right through the meeting before we get to the actual what we're meant to be doing. That's why it pays to listen to the Holy Spirit. I'll be talking about that a little bit later on, about listening to the Holy Spirit. He'll interrupt every meeting we ever go to, and he will do what he wants to do and not what we want to do normally, okay? And, you know, the Word of God will heal you, incidentally. Whatever you've got tonight, whatever you've come for and is a need in your life, get ready for God to heal you. I've already read that one scripture can get you totally and completely healed. He has anointed me to preach the good news, to preach the gospel, to bring freedom to the captives and see healed knees and healed bodies and lives that are made whole in Jesus' name. In fact, I feel the anointing on you right now. Holy Ghost, I want to thank you that you are the power of God. Ooh, just feel him coming right there, the Holy Spirit right there. Right on you, brother. I think you might have been the last person who put up your hand, but the Bible says the last will be first. And I just sense that for you right now. I sense that in many areas of your world right now. I sense the power of God on you right now. There's a sense of victory. And I'll tell you right now, faith on the inside of you is grabbing something out of heaven today. You grabbed it right at the beginning of this meeting, and right now we declare healing on that knee. Healing in Jesus' name. Speak restoration to it, to the cartilage. I speak to your central nervous system, calling it whole and complete as God's word declares it to be. I pray right now that right through the center of your body, that the healing virtue of Christ would set you free. Right there it goes, the anointing just right there. Holy Spirit, right now, on this dear lady, I thank you, God, for the power of restoration. On the cartilage in that knee, I speak to it right now, and I declare right now that it come into order according to the word of God. Thank you, Father, that death and life from the power of the tongue, and what we would declare tonight over your knee, that your knee be restored, that even right now, feel the warmth in that knee as the Holy Spirit does a miracle of restoration in the cartilage, in the bone, in that knee, and God puts it back together supernaturally. There it goes right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God, that we believe your word tonight. And, Lord, nothing is impossible to you. And, Father, I speak to this knee right now, and I call you whole and complete as God's word declares you to be. Somebody stand up and give God a praise tonight, because miracle power, miracle power, miracle power, miracle power, miracle power. Shamba, buba, shikirianda, which interpreted means healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Shandabushikianda, which means receive your gift, your free gift. You didn't have to do anything to deserve it. You didn't have to get better than what you were. You just got it right where you were. The less, in actual fact, I just believe God says, the less we think we're in the right place, the more we are available to his grace. That's what God just said to you. Receive a miracle in Jesus' name. Get ready to jump up. And how's that knee feeling right now? I want to know, John. How's that knee feeling? You can't tell. You've got it right now. There's pain there right now. Well, in Jesus' name, we command pain to loose you and let you go. And in Jesus' name, we speak to that leg and we command total restoration. And we command the pain to get out. You've got no authority in this blood-bought Son of the living God. Jump up and down on it. Wriggle it around. Tell me how it's happening right now. How's it happening right now? You can still feel
it's
a little bit.
It's my left knee that's a really bad one, though.
Jeepers, both knees.
I've been able to run for 3 years.
Well, get ready to run. We declare, come on, somebody. Let's believe that he'll be able to run. Some of the stuff,
yes.
We get trapped up in the field. You know, in fact, I just really feel now that, honestly, we don't even look at the circumstances. We look at the word of God that declares, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you are restored. I see you running right now. I see you running. So get ready to run, okay? Get ready to run. Who knows? You guys, I don't know if you can do that in here. Doesn't look like you can. But we get you running around in a circle. In Jesus' name, Lord, restore this knee and make it whole in Jesus' name. How's your knee, sir?
Yeah, it's much better than it was.
I like that. I like that. Come on, let's shout a praise. You know, Holy Ghost. Lord, we know that you are a miracle-working God. that nothing is impossible to you. How you feeling? I thought you looked pretty good, actually. I felt that something happened, that God shifted something over your life tonight, and His grace is available and free to you right now. Come on, you guys, some jogging on the spot right now, some jogging on the spot. You've got to exercise the miracle that God's done in your life. Can you do that? Bit of jogging on the spot. Holy Ghost. Come on, a shout of praise. Jesus. Go. It's better even right now. Come on, it's going to be better by the time you get back to your seat, completely and totally and amazingly restored in Jesus' name. Had to do that before we get on with this, so here we go now, all right? Oh, don't you love miracles? You know, I just love the miraculous of God. Probably the greatest miracle I've ever seen, though, because that what I just read you, He has sent me, He has anointed me to go and preach. Dennis talked about a church, I don't know which church it was, but you talked about going to a church where it seemed to be that nothing was happening, and there you were, and you had to bring the word, okay? And it's good to arrive with something in your spirit that affects the atmosphere. Do you know what I'm talking about, guys? Like, I don't want to arrive anywhere in life where it's like I'm waiting for something in the atmosphere to get me excited enough to bring what I've got on the inside. We should have it on the inside that we can bring whatever we need in any given situation. I remember going to a church a little while ago, actually, it'd be about 9 months ago now in Australia. Of course, Australia, different country, and you need to be a missionary to go to Australia. And anyway, I went to this particular church. And I remember the driver taking me there, and we went into this church, and my goodness, where is he? A guy called Graham playing the keys up here tonight. You are good, sir. Is he here? There he is. Is that you right down the back? You look skinnier down the back, but that is you. That's because you're a long way away. Okay. But honestly, let me commend the praise and the worship. You, honestly, seriously, can I say this to people here tonight? You can get free just listening to that stuff. And don't wait for me to stop preaching to pray for you, because I just think the word of God can heal you right where you sit. Okay? Anyway, I arrived at this church, and I sat down in this church, and I came in, actually. It wasn't the most friendly place either. It was like you just sort of walk in, find a seat. Nobody was very excited about church. Can I say get excited about church? This is Saturday night church. Are you guys Seventh-day Adventists or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And so here we are in church on a Saturday night, which is so cool. And I think if we don't live excited about it, honestly, just get excited about being together around the cause of Christ. If you can't find something to get excited about, come and see me after and I'll share some exciting news with you. And anyway, so I walked into this church, finally made our way to the seat and sat down. And the music was terrible. It was literally terrible. You were not there, Graham. You weren't there. And it was bad. And I said to my driver, not Mark, but I said to my driver on this occasion, I said, shoot, you're up, mate. Like, I wouldn't even know what to say in this place. The atmosphere was like someone had just put a freezer on it. You know, it was like it had a wet blanket on the atmosphere. And it was like the horriblest atmosphere you've ever been in. And so I was like, I said to him, mate, anyone could have a go here and you couldn't miss. It's so bad you couldn't miss. So I said, you're up. And then the Holy Spirit spoke and I was serious about it. I said, I don't want to get up. It's scary. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and He said this to me. He said, I have anointed you to bring a message into this place today that will set captives free. And seriously, it looked like everybody there was a captive, okay? They just weren't free. You guys are dancing around here tonight and singing and getting into it. But it wasn't like that. It was kind of, they'd lost their joy. They'd lost their heart. And so finally, I got up. And I cannot say it was with huge expectation, but I got up and this was more like what it was. Holy Spirit, what the heck would you do here? If you were here, what would you do? That's what I was saying. Because really, it's not about what the caliber of the man is, it's about the caliber of the Spirit on the inside of us. That's what I'm trying to get to you tonight. It's about who's on the inside, what's on the inside. And so I said, Holy Spirit, what would you do? Because I haven't got a clue. You ever been there, Dennis?
Oh, yeah.
And anyway, this is what he said to me. This is what he said, just very simply. He said, walk straight down the middle of this church. And I walked straight down the middle like this. And then he said, the girl, four seats, it's not even a girl tonight, it's a man. But four chairs in, there was a woman sitting with dark hair. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go right down the back, walk it, grab her out of a seat and say, excuse me, ma'am, could I pray for you because God's going to change your life today? And anyway, and I stood her up and I brought her out into the aisle, which is quite embarrassing, actually, for her. And I had to coax her a little. Come on, honey, it's okay. Stand out in the middle here. And she stood up. Can you give us a demonstration of this, please? And she came out. And then I said, just turn right around and look at me again. And do that one more time, please. And why don't you just do it one more time for the fun of it? And that's exactly what she did. And then she collapsed on the ground, bawling her eyes out, which is pretty freaky. Don't you do that. Don't have to follow that bit. Sit down again. Claps on the ground, bawling her eyes out. And then I said, God has turned the season in your life from winter to summer. God's turned your past away from you and giving you a brand new future today. I'd never seen this woman in my life before. She's bawling her eyes out on the floor. She finally gets up. Then I said, straight after that, I was just like, phew, just God, you're in the house. You know how you can feel when God's in the house? It's the atmosphere that's here right now, right? If you didn't realize that. You've got to know the atmosphere of God. And so the atmosphere, and I said, there's people here right now need to surrender their life to Jesus Christ. You need to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. She got up off the floor, she came down and she gave her life to Christ. Like this is in the first 15 minutes of the service. Then I got the privilege of meeting her after the service when we'd finished the whole thing. And this is what she said to me. You know, that was the most amazing day of my life. I said, why would that be? She said, well, last night, she said, I worked my last night in the brothel I work in. And she said, I went home, I was so broken and so busted. And she said, I wanted to take my own life last night. But she said, I turned on the TV. And she said, there was a man preaching the gospel on the TV. And she said, the man said at the end of his message, you need to find a good church to go to tomorrow. And she thought, wow. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. She rings up a taxi driver and she says, I have no idea where the churches are in my city, but could you please pick me up and take me to a church tomorrow morning? And the taxi driver arrived, picked her up and brought her to that dead as a doornail church. And God had a divine appointment where he had positioned me at the right time and the right season in the right moment. And I just happened to hear the Holy Spirit walk down the aisle. I could have pulled anyone out of their chair, but the Holy Spirit directed me to this one woman. That day, she got born again, received the Holy Spirit, and totally transformed her life, has no longer works in that industry, but is a worshiper in that church right now. How cool is God? And I say that to say this, you are not here by chance tonight. You are here by divine appointment of God. You are here by God moved everything. He shifted heaven and earth to make it a divine appointment for you to have an appointment in this place tonight that would shift something in your life, that you would catch something out of heaven, that you would never be the same again. And I want you to receive right now. In fact, I declare it over your life that there are people here right now that will go from here different just because you came. Just because you came. For no other reason than just because you came. And in Jesus' name I declare. I want to give you a few points out of this tonight and to go in line with this conference, I believe. And it's called The Story of the Good Samaritan. And let me just read it to you in Luke chapter 10. It's the great story, even though I'm struggling to see it on this page. But it's called The Good Samaritan. Here it is. Okay, sorry. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood and tested Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Have you ever asked that question, anybody? What must I do to inherit eternal life? What do I have to do? What do I have to do to get this God stuff in my life? What do I have to do to open my world up? Jesus began to give a story. He says this. Jesus says, well, what's written in the law? What's written in the Bible, in other words? How do you read it? Because we all read things differently. And the man answered and he said, well, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. That's a statement, isn't it? Love your neighbour as yourself. Sometimes, it goes on. This is what it says. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. On this you do, and you will live well. But he, wanting to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbour? Anybody ever asked that? Who's my neighbour? Who's my neighbour? Like, tonight it could be the person sitting on your left or your right. When you go home tonight, it could be the person living on your left or your right. Who is your neighbour? It could be the person who transported you here. It could be the person you sit beside at the movies on Saturday night. Oh, no, you guys are in church on Saturday night. On another night, okay? It could be the person who you hang out with at work, but who is your neighbour? And then Jesus replied and said, a man was going down to from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. I don't know how that sort of looks, but half dead, okay? Almost dead, but not quite. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when the priest saw the man, he shifted over to the other side. So too a Levite came along the same road, but he too shifted and passed by on the other side. Then a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him and went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, which is probably about 20 bucks, and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have spent on this man. Which of these three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? Who do you think? The Samaritan. The Samaritan, okay? It's a well-known story. It's one of the most well-known stories. Its artists have painted literally thousands of incredible depictions of this scene. If you go to the Louvre in France, is that where it is? Yeah, the Louvre. I knew I've been there somewhere. And if you go to the Louvre in France, you will see many pictures of what artists imagine the scene was like. And I just want to give you a couple of points tonight about what I believe is a very powerful message in the Bible about this broken and man who was in trouble. Let's face it, it's a pretty big challenge when you think that Jesus is saying, who's your neighbour? And will you look after that neighbour, whoever that may be, in your opinion? We've already discovered that Jesus' job description was to reach out and touch people. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. Hello? If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. It's a pretty big challenge, I believe. It's a big challenge. It's a big challenge that we will love our neighbour. Sometimes you find it hard to love your own family. Sometimes it's very hard to love the very person you live with or your spouse. Sometimes that's even difficult. We all want to be more like Jesus, but my wife's glad I'm not like Jesus, because it says that Jesus said, I am the Lord your God, I change not. And at least I'm trying to change, which will make most women fairly happy. If you are changing and making yourself better and becoming better at what you are, you're probably going to do a little bit better, okay? But Jesus is challenging us here about some boundaries in our lives and challenging us how we look at those boundaries. This one priest was going, it says, going down from Jerusalem, which would declare to me, if he was leaving Jerusalem, he'd probably already been to the temple and so therefore had already done his worship and was returning home. It's funny how you can be in church and yet have no care for the broken world around us. It seems weird to me that a priest, a man who's a pastor, if you like, or a man who's a leader in the church, Well, no, that's a Levite. But a man who's a pastor has left church and going home from church and has been unimpacted by the word of God and the love of God. My prayer is that you would be transformed tonight by the power of God in this meeting and that you would then change your world. Don't get too excited about that. The next guy that goes down the same road is a Levite. He's like a guy who helps in the church. He's like a guy who does some ministry in the church. He's a guy who helps out in the church. He's going down the same road. He too crosses the road and moves away from a man in trouble, obviously broken, crosses the road and gets out of his way. And then along comes this guy. He's called a Samaritan. The Bible, Jesus called him a good Samaritan. It's interesting that Jesus spoke about a Samaritan. Samaritans had, their theology was wonky. You know that, don't you? Their theology was wonky. They didn't understand the Bible. Jesus even spoke to the woman of Samaria, the Samaritan woman who he met at the well. And he said, here's the problem with you Samaritans. Your theology is screwed up. He said, you don't know who it is you worship. You don't understand who and how God operates. And Jesus spoke to one Samaritan woman and said, your theology is all up the tree. Yet the Samaritan man comes down the same road. He's the only one who, outside of his theology, because we can have all different kinds of weird theologies, we can have, I really don't care where your theology is at, I want to know where your heart's at. Excuse me. It's not so much about what you know, it's about who you know. And when you know God, he changes your heart. When my son was tragically killed 6 years ago in a road accident, and I feel for any others who have had that tragic thing happen in your world, but when he was tragically killed, I want to tell you, it wasn't theology that got me through that. It wasn't my knowing 3 points about how to live victorious through any trouble. It wasn't the 10 points I'd learned on how to live a successful life. It was one encounter with God that had so impregnated my heart with faith that I was able to walk through that valley and come out the other side. It's your encounter with God that'll change your world. Nothing else but an encounter with God will change your world. The reality is you can know all the Bible. These guys, the priests knew the word. They had to learn the Bible. They knew the Torah, which is the 5 first books of the Bible, off by heart. And yet it never seemed to affect his heart. It never seemed to affect his care for the broken, for the people who were blind, for the people who could not see or could not get their own life together. The Levite, in the same way, knew the word of God, but never had a clue what to do with a broken man. I believe God wants us to reach out and change a broken world. I believe God wants us to change a broken world. It can start right in church. Like I said to you earlier, there are people in church who are broken. I shared a story with you this morning. Yet the Samaritan comes along, and there's something about this Samaritan guy who had a sensitive heart. I love people with a sensitive heart. I love people who can see. The Bible says he took pity on him. I want to just give you just 4 points about this story tonight. Number one, the Samaritan saw. There's something when God opens your eyes to see the need around you and causes you to be a miracle worker in a world that you can see. Because a lot of people are walking through life and they cannot see for the love of looking. And I believe God wants to open our eyes so we can see the broken and lonely and hurting people in our world. That's your first point. At least we got there tonight. God wants us to see the broken people in our world. And there's something about when you begin to see a broken person, there's something that in your life, it's going to cost you, there's going to be an expense, there's going to be something there that's going to demand something of you to bring hope to that person. Yet I believe today that God wants us to go beyond the boundaries of ourselves and start to live for Christ's job description about others in Jesus' name. I reckon that's where God wants to take us tonight. And I want to challenge you. We've talked a lot. I've heard some great message. I heard Jeff declare great stuff about evangelism today. I heard him talk about great stories of victory and freedom and people getting saved. But the reality is we can sit and hear it, but until we do it. It's called the book of Acts, not the book of intentions. It's like there's something we've got to put into practice in our life. I like to read the book of Acts, and I like to open any page of the book of Acts and literally put my name there and see if it would fit okay with what I believe to be the biblical truth in my life. I don't want this just to be something that I studied and that I know a little bit about. I want it to be something that I can live and that I can preach here knowing that this is something that's active in my life, not something I'm talking about. Does that make sense to you guys? I don't want to be a person that passes by on the other side. I want to be a person that can get involved in a broken marriage, get involved in a broken family, get involved in a broken business and try to bring some restoration and some hope into somebody's life. I believe that's where God wants us. I don't believe God wants us on standing on the sideline. I just think you can have bad theology and yet you can have the love of God operating in your life and change your world. Yeah, you can clap about that because I just totally believe. Mother Teresa, we all talk about Mother Teresa. She won awards for all of her loving people. And she said this one day, I just can't walk by on the other side. I love that. It's simple. It's the gospel. I just can't walk by on the other side. Something about a person, you know, let me say this to you. Life doesn't have a remote control switch. You can't turn this on and turn it off. It's like life doesn't have that. You have to, it's like somebody's not going to do it for you. You've got to get up and change channels yourself. If you're a person who's given to negativity, you've got to just change it and go for a positive word. If you're a person who's given to standing back all the time, you've got to change channels and become a person who steps forward and believes that the power of God that lives in you can change the world you live in. This man saw, it says that he literally saw the man there. I think the others saw him too. They just didn't know what to do with it. God wants us to be people who know what to do when we see a need in our world. And the only way you'll do that is with the power of the Holy Spirit in you. You must have missed that. The only way you'll do that is with the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Because that's probably the exciting, that's the exciting message of the Bible, is that the power of God comes in you and he changes your world. I remember when I first got born again, I'm a builder by trade, incidentally, I'm probably still a builder. When I first got born again, I was building houses. I used to build spec houses and I'd sell the spec houses. Those are houses that are for speculation. In other words, entrepreneurial, okay? And I would do that, and that was my life. And so I'd build nice houses, and then I'd try to sell them to you. And every now and then somebody would ring me and say, could you come and build a house for us? Because we like that house we saw. And I'd arrive at your place. I'd been born again, I think, approximately 2 weeks. And I got a phone call like this. And so I went to the house. This is like I'm 2 weeks a Christian. 2 weeks. And I arrived at the house, and when I got there, I had my briefcase. I had several plans in the briefcase. My intention was to show the family the plans and then secure the deal and build them a house. The amazing thing that happened, I got into the house. This is what the guy said to me. As soon as I walked in, he said, boy, you seem pretty excited. What are you excited about? And so I forgot I was excited about selling him a house, and I started thinking I was excited about the power of God in my life. And I said, well, here's what happened, I said, I became a Christian 2 weeks ago and my whole world's changed and I'm so excited about life. He said, could you tell me about that? And that night, I think at 10:30, I went there at 8 o'clock, at 10:30 that night, he surrendered his life to Christ. And I'd been a Christian 2 weeks and it was very exciting for me. And him and his wife both gave their lives to Christ while I was in the house. It's a simple thing. It's like, Jesus, we surrender our lives to you. We know that in our lives right now there's such huge gaps, there's emptiness, there's stuff we don't understand, but God, we want to surrender our lives to you and transform their life. About 3 years later, he died of a massive heart attack, and I remember hearing the story, anyway, just recently, we pioneered a new church just up on the coast of the North Shore in Auckland, I went there to preach, and who turns up? But this woman turns up with her new husband, the woman whose husband had died, and I was preaching, and she started yelling out, he means what he says, you know, it's like being in a black church, Dennis, you know, she's yelling out stuff, and you're like, what the heck, who's that woman? And what she was referring to was when I got born again, this stuff's not just a story I'm telling, this is the reality of our lives, that we have the power of God on the inside of us to change people's world. To change people's world. She's still going for God today. She thanks God that her husband's now in heaven and not hell, because I arrived at their house and was able to introduce him to the power of the name of Jesus. That's what it's all about. See, the greatest miracle you'll ever see is salvation. I don't care what anybody says, the greatest miracle you'll ever see is salvation. That's why it was a miracle when I went to that church and that woman who was caught in that horrible realm of life was totally set free. This man saw the injured man, the Samaritan saw the injured man, and then it says he took pity on him. In other words, he went and cared for him. There's something about someone who would take pity on a person, but then go a little bit further and actually help them out. This is about evangelism, all right? This is about getting out of our boxes. This is not just like, let's hear another fancy message. I want to challenge you tonight. What are you doing with the gift of God in your life? Don't get quiet on me now. Okay? The second part of this is that the Bible says he went and put a bandage on him. Now, funny thing is that bandage thing. He went and put a bandage on. I remember when I first got saved, they used to preach about this, that Pentecost is not about putting bandages on. Don't you dare put bandages. We used to talk about that. I remember hearing messages that there were some churches that were just bandaging wounds and not actually bringing healing to people. And I don't know if any of you have heard that stuff. Like, they're just putting a band-aid on and they're not really dealing with the issue. Well, here's the deal. This guy literally puts a bandage on the guy's brokenness. It says he gets close enough. You have to get pretty close to pour on oil and wine and then put a bandage on the guy and get him fixed that way. I think sometimes in our lives we just want to pray a prayer and believe God's going to save the world and set people free, but we don't want to get involved. You've got to get close if you want to see God set people free. And sometimes it's not nice, it's real ugly, but you will see captives set free. I think Jeff talked about some of it today. But if you'll get close enough to broken people, you will see miracle after miracle after miracle. I live in that zone. I love that zone. I was sharing with Mark coming down today about a woman I met in a cafe a little while ago now. But a woman I met in a cafe, I was sitting in the cafe, the Holy Spirit said to me, go tell that girl that I love her. That's what God said, go tell her I love her. Now, how do you hear God? So people think you've gone goofy if you hear God. It's not like you don't eat a whole lot of pizza the night before and then you hear God the next day. You hear God when he speaks to your spirit and he moves you with compassion toward a situation or a circumstance in your world, and your eyes become open like this man and you see the need. I could see the brokenness on her life. I could see it. I walked over and I said, excuse me, ma'am. We've never met before in our life, but I just want to let you know that God loves you. Which is just words, really. Now, she bursts out in tears right there. She says, I hope he does, because I've got a hex on my life. Somebody's put a hex on me. I'm going to die this week. And just a young girl, and she believes she's going to die that week. And then she tells me about this hex. She says, it's already working. I've pranked my car up this morning. I've just come in here to have a coffee. And guess what? God divinely puts me in the same cafe that she's coming to have a coffee, believing she's got a hex on her life. I said, listen, we passed through a church just up the road. Why don't you follow me up the road? She followed me up the road, and within an hour, she was delivered, set free. God broken the curses off her life. She is now, this is probably a year and a half down the track now. She's married to an awesome guy in our church. She's totally been set free. She's going for God, part of the worship team. And I want to tell you, God wants to do miracles through us if we will just open our eyes and see. Come on. Open your eyes and see. And I believe that's very, honestly, you don't even have to be a Christian to do this. Just in case you're here tonight and you're not a Christian yet. You don't have to be. You just got to love people. See, this guy, the Bible doesn't say anything about where this guy's standing was spiritually. But he did want to know what got into eternal life. Now, Jesus puts it an amazing way because he says, well, if you love your neighbor, you could get eternal life. And I'll tell you what happens. When you start loving people, God shifts your heart. And you start falling in love with the love giver. Because there's no love outside of Christ. The greatest act in humanity of love was when Jesus laid down his life at Calvary. In fact, the greatest RSVP in history, you all know what that Responde CV play, which you've all had one to a wedding or whatever, and you get that invite, and then you turn up at the wedding, and it's like, please let us know you're coming. That's what it is, RSVP. And please let us know you're coming. That's what That's what John 3:16 is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that if you believe on him, you would not perish but have everlasting life. It's all about love. It's all actually about loving people. It's like we've got to get close enough to see the need and feel the need in our lives. And when it affects us, when it costs us something, then this man puts him on his own donkey. That's like a car today, okay? You'd carry him in your own car, whatever that means. It was a donkey in that day. The great thing about donkeys, let me tell you this, the great thing about donkeys, because you have to carry people sometimes. One of the difficult things I've found in life is I hate carrying people. Is there anybody like me? You're like you feel like you're carrying them. It's like I get over carrying people real quick. And you have comments and negativity and stuff. Well, this man, it says he put him on his own donkey and carried. Now, the great thing about a donkey is donkeys can't talk. Isn't that cool? Donkeys can't. Because, you know, we've always got the right words. You deserve to be in that condition. I know why you got beaten up. And we'll have some goofy religious philosophy about it, why the person got beaten up. But the fact is he just got beaten up.
That's it. Come on.
And there are people in life, they didn't do anything to deserve what they got. They just got beaten up. It's just like bad things sometimes just happen. When my son got killed, when he got tragically killed, and so some of the goofiest statements I heard were from people who you would think know a lot better. Some people who have been in church all their life would say things to me, do you think there was sin in his life? Like hello? Like, this is a funny thing. It's a funny, sometimes we've just got to love people and don't talk. It's better not to talk. If you haven't got something encouraging to say, just zip it. Don't say nothing. Because sometimes the words we say can cancel someone out for life. I was at the hospital the other day getting a checkup, and I started telling the nurse who was looking after me, I started telling her, man, God loves you so much. Have you ever heard that message? And she said, God hates me. I said, really? She says, yeah, God hates me. And I said, where did you ever get that message? She said, I'll tell you where I got it from, the church. What a dreadful thing to have ever heard. And I said, how sad that is. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? The next thing that happens in this guy's story is that the donkey takes the guy not to church, but to the pub. I told you he's got wonky theology. He should have took him to church, surely. When I first read that story, I'm like, what? He took him to an inn. Like, it's the wrong place. But I don't know about you, but I used to hang out there fairly regularly. I was a regular there in one time in my life. And you know, here's the funny thing about, this is often the case about some of those people. They will sometimes just have the right words in a broken person's life, because they hang out with them all the time. And you get to feel and sense where broken people are at. And I believe God wants us to have a heart that can recognize where broken people are at and not say goofy stuff to them. Just let them know we care. Just let them know. You know, I'm hanging out at church the other day. This is 3 weeks ago now. I'm hanging out at church. And we get a phone call. And I'm always getting these phone calls. I love them. I love phone calls. And so we get a phone call. And it's, most of you people would know this person. And it's a person who's a star. He's a celeb, a New Zealand celebrity. And what happened was, he rang a girl who used to come to our church, all right? She's backslidden now. She's not going to church any longer. Anybody here who's a bit backslidden or away from God, tonight's your chance to get fired up for God, okay? So this guy, the celeb, rings her because she's become a friend in her lifestyle she's living now. And he says, I'm freaking out. I can't stay in my house any longer. There's a demon come to live in our house. And we've got to move out. Can you help us? Do you know anyone who can come and do an exorcism? And she's thinking, shoot, I don't even know anybody who believes in the demonic realm. And then she suddenly remembers this pastor she used to have who would cast out devils with no intimidation at all and believe that God sent us to set the captives free, release the prisoners, and proclaim the year of salvation. So she rings up the church and she says, can I speak to Pastor Don? And yeah, so they put me through, and here she is, and she says, look, I've got a friend, they've got some sort of demonic activity. This guy's getting dragged out of bed in the middle of the night by his feet, and he's totally freaking out, and the whole house is now living in fear. And this is a pretty, he's never been to church in his life, this guy, let me tell you. And he's just a really happening guy on your TV and stuff. And anyway, so what happens is, I said, yeah. I said, I've got a lot of meetings today, but I'm going to turn up there at 9:30 tonight. Be ready for it. God's going to bring a miracle into the house. Now, I don't know how you do that. How do you kick a devil out of the house? I have no idea. But I do know that the power of the Holy Spirit is on the inside of me to set captives free, to proclaim the year of salvation, to unlock chained prisoners and bring the year of the Lord's favor on their life. And so I grabbed one of my young guys and I said, come on, mate, we're going to go out for the most exciting night of your life. And he says, what's that? And I told him what it was and he said, jeepers, what do you do? And I said, I have no idea, but we're going to go there with God on the inside of us and we're going to see what happens. And so we rock up at the house. We rocked up. We probably got there about 9:45. And we rock up and we go up, knock on the door. And next thing, the door opens. And it's like, here he is. And he said, man, it's great to see you. And they're fairly solemn about all this. Man, it's great to see you, man. Come on in, you know. And we went on in, went on to this house in the middle of Auckland City. And we walk on into the house. And then next thing, he takes me into the lounge. And there's like 13 people there. It's like, I'm like, who are all these people? I'm like, mate, we've come to pray with you and help you. Who are all these people? And he said, well, I rang a few of my mates because I realized there's going to be an exorcism tonight and these guys are real keen to see one. I'm like, mate, like I'm not like a priest. We're not going to have heads turning tonight. I said, it's like the power that's on the inside of me is greater than the power of whatever has come to bring trouble to your house. And then I said, well, anyway, guys, since we're here and the whole 13 of you here, I said, first thing we need to do, it's good that you're here, actually. Don't you think that is so cool? That they've all, these are all TV personalities and people who are a bit in that world. And so they've all come. They want to know what's going on, you know. They want to know what's happening in our, they want to know if this God has any power, if he's really real. They want to know if this is just bull, if it's just a load of rope, if it's just like, can we get down where the broken are? Can we bring some power into the situation and shift the atmosphere? Anyway, so I said, well, come on, here's the first thing we're going to do. We need to pray for the whole lot of you because demonic powers are very real. You've all seen the Twilight Zone and all these zombie movies and all that. We have a whole world right now that seems like just so taken by the supernatural world. It's like I've never seen, there's so many movies about it now. It's like we're possessed with the idea of something supernatural. And so they all knew what I was talking about when I said, these devils are very real. And so I need to pray for you because if we start dealing with the supernatural, anything could happen. Their eyes were like as big as saucers. Then I said, so we're going to pray for you that God will protect you and keep you while we kick the devil out of this house. And so I prayed for them. We had a prayer meeting in the middle of this house. It was just so awesome. And then I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Show me the bedroom. And they took me into this bedroom. I walked into the bedroom, and you could definitely feel when you walked into that room, it was like a cold, damp, eerie, horrible feeling in that room. And I said, man, there is definitely, and I said, Holy Spirit, open my eyes that I can see right now what's a go and what's happened in this room. And God began to show me stuff that has gone on in that room and stuff that was happening in that room. I began to see pictures on the walls and God began to show me these demonically. The Holy Spirit began to reveal to me demonic stuff that had been happening in that room. And I started praying. I called and I said to the guy had already come in and I said, come over here, mate. We need to break the power of this demonic spirit of suicide off your life. And he started like, how did you know? How did you know? And stuff like this, that he's been getting these thoughts that are coming into his head by the power of the demonic. And I started to pray for him, and then there was a girl standing at the door and she looked so freaked out. I said, come in here, honey, we're gonna see you set free as well. And she just refused. She said, I can't go in, I'm too scared to go in. She said, I went in there the other night and something happened, and now it's happening in my room as well. And she said, I cannot go in. And I said, it's going to be broken off your life tonight and you'll be totally free. Anyway, within minutes, we'd busted the power of the enemy in that room and you literally felt the warmth from heaven come down. So much so that these people are saying, man, it's like someone's turned a heater on in here. It's like the whole atmosphere's changed. God had invaded that room, and God invades our world when we turn up with an anointing of the Holy Ghost on our lives, and every one of us has got that capacity on the inside of our lives. It was amazing, because then we've got, so I said, guys, here's what we really need to do. I said, we've kicked the devil out of this room, but we need to get every room in this house. So I said, why don't you all follow me, and we'll go through every, because we wanted to go to the girls' room, and we wanted to go to every room in the house. So we started going through. In Jesus' name, we clear this room out. There'll be no demonic influence ever affect people in this room, but the power of God will be present here. Then in the next room, and the next room, and the next room. And then I went to the final room, and I walked in, and you could just feel the peace of God. You could feel something about God in the house. And then I said, I need to meet the person who lives in this room, because there's something significant about this person's life. Then they said, well, it's him. And they brought this young guy, and they said, it's him, it's him, it's Joseph. I said, Joseph? Now you've got to just, the name. I said, Joseph, let me just read your mail for you. This is what I got when I walked into your room tonight. I said, I got this, that you were raised in a Christian home, that you have had it prophesied over your life that you would be a preacher and a teacher of the word, and yet you've walked away from that and you're doing your own thing today, and yet God, you knew exactly what you should have carried into this place over this situation, and tonight God wants to turn your world and turn you back onto Jesus. Anyway, he starts like just totally freaking out. How did you know that about me? Who told you? Had somebody been talking? He's looking around the room. Who told you? I said, no, none of them told me. God told me about your heart. And right then I said, so I think it's probably a good time, probably right now in this meeting, I said, probably a good time. I said, who here would like, I said, Joseph, you probably need to give your life back to Christ tonight. And he's like, I think so. His eyes are as big as saucers. I said, is there anybody else in this house who's feeling right now that they would like to surrender their life to Jesus Christ? He is the power that sets you free. Right now, he's broken every curse off this house and brought the liberty. This man brought hope and healing to a guy because he had to get out of his own comfort zone. I believe God's calling people to get out of their own comfort zone tonight. I believe God's calling us to be active in our world and bring a change into our world. Right now, here's what's happening in that house, okay? Here's what's happening in that house. God has totally set them free. Every one of them gave their lives to Christ that night. The whole 13 of them accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Right now, they're holding Bible studies in that house to find out the truth about this Jesus who can set the captives free. There's not been one more bit of demonic activity. You know what? Our world is hungry for the reality of a God who can change our world. We all want peace on the inside. We all want to know what real love is. We all want to know what it is to live a life where we feel that we're doing okay. And God wants you to know that his love can set you free tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen? That's enough for tonight. I want you to close your eyes, bow your heads. I believe there are people here right now, like those young men and women that I spoke with that night. Like the young Maori girl who said to me, boy, I got so scared because she said, I seem to be very receptive to this stuff. And she said, I could feel that something was wrong in our house. And she said, now I feel that there's an incredible freedom in our house. And she said, you can tell surely, as I went to leave, she said, surely you can tell right now that there's joy in this house now. There's something we never had before. She said, we've been freaking out and now there's joy in this house. Jesus brings joy into our world. It's not something we talk about. It's not a religious statement in the Bible. It's a reality of the cause of Jesus Christ. It's the power of his love tonight. Friend, whoever you are tonight, you're here right now. And I want to ask you this question. I want to ask you because I really believe it matters. I believe that heaven and hell are real. I believe that they're as real as we are in this atmosphere tonight. I believe it's as real as people in chairs. It's as real as hot and cold. It's as real as God said, I will that not one person would perish, but that all would come to eternal life and hope. It's pretty simple, really. It's just that God loves RSVP, and he just wants us to let him know, hey, yeah, we're going to be there. Yeah, we're going to be there. It's not how good we are. It's not how cool we are. It's not that we put all our ducks in a row. It's like, God, I just know that there's something about your incredible love tonight. And I want to know that love, and I want to know forgiveness. Whoever that is in this place tonight, and you're saying, man, that's me. I need to know that love. I need to know that forgiveness. Don, I need to get right with God. If there's somebody here right now, please lift your hand up real quick and put it back down. Whoever that is, just put your hand up real quick. God bless you. Yeah, thank you. God bless you. Who else is there right now? Thank you for those. Anybody else right now as I look across this room? God bless you, sir. That's absolutely amazing. God bless you. God bless you, honey. That is so cool. So cool. Is there somebody else tonight? And you might say in your heart, man, I don't know this God. I don't even understand it. It's not about how much you understand it with your head. It's what you understand with your heart. And tonight, the love of God is all over this place. The power of God. When we're worshiping tonight, I felt the love of God come and just embrace us tonight. And that God was telling us how much he loves you. And friend, let me ask you one more time right across this place, in case you missed that call right then. Friend, if that's you tonight, and there's a decision needs to be made in your heart, and I'm going to ask you real quick, friend, if that's you, and you want to say, yes, I want to follow Christ. I want to receive Jesus. I want to make a decision. I need forgiveness tonight, and I want to forgive. I want to know the love of God. Lift your hand up and put it down real quick. If there's somebody that missed, just quickly put your hand up and shoot it up and put it right back down again, and I'll include you in a prayer tonight. Is there anybody else? Thank you, young man there. Thank you, young lady right there. That's so awesome. So awesome. So awesome. So awesome. Thank you, God. Why don't we all stand to our feet? The greatest miracle that you'll ever see, like I said before, the greatest miracle you'll ever see is a life transformed by the love of God. That's the greatest miracle. I've seen people raised from the dead. I've seen people walk who couldn't walk before. I'm one of them, actually. And I've seen the miraculous of God. But the greatest miracle I've ever seen is one life that God has totally turned around, 180 degrees, walking the other way and set free in their own spirit, knowing who they are and whose they are, and living confident with the love of God on the inside, so that they have a message. It's not people getting saved that's the greatest thing in the world. The reality is it's a transformed life that's the greatest testimony to God is one transformed life that knows who they are, how courageous with the love of God. I like the Samaritan guy who doesn't cross the road when they see people in trouble, but goes right to the need because they know what's in them is greater than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for every person who lifted their hands tonight. I pray for those right now that are in the valley of decision. God, I pray for every person here tonight that miracles would pop out of their world tonight, that in Jesus' name you would unlock. I feel there's somebody here right now, and it's almost, this is the vision I see. I can only tell you what I see, but if you could see what I see tonight, I see somebody with an ankle band. It's like an ankle, it's like a chain hooked to a wall, and there's like an anklet on your ankle, and it's holding you from taking a step forward in your world. And God says this, God says, I'm going to unlock the brace on your ankle, and I'm going to set you free tonight. And God says, I'll enable you to make a step you could never make before. That's somebody in this room right now. It's probably that you are captivated by your old life, and God has said, I'm going to set you free. I believe in a moment of time, God's going to unlock that and give you an opportunity to respond, and I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. I'm going to open this, I'm going to call this an altar tonight, and whatever you may picture that to be, it's a place where the power of God unlocks people and sets them free. It's a place where Jesus renews your heart and gives you a new mind and a new spirit. And I'm opening that up tonight because I believe God's about to do miracles. Some of you who put your hand up tonight and said, that's me, I need to know the love of God, I need forgiveness, I need to accept Christ, I need to make a decision tonight. There are others who didn't put their hand up, but those who did, I want to pray a prayer with you tonight. And I want everybody in this place to pray this prayer with me, if you would, and make these words your words. Please, let's all join together with those who responded tonight and say, Jesus, I want to thank you. Come on, we can do better than that. Jesus, I want to thank you that you first loved me, that right now you have come to set me free, and I receive forgiveness. I receive your love, and I receive the power of your spirit that sets me free tonight. In Jesus' name, I am born again. I'm a new person. I'm ready to run because Jesus captivated my spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Give him a hand clap right now. Jesus. Here's what I'd like to do. I'm opening this altar right now. If you lifted your hand, or you know you should have, or if you prayed that prayer right then and you're like, wow, God's done something in my spirit right there, I want you to get out of your seats and come down. Can you do that? All over this place, please. If you lifted your hand, if you know you should have, not to embarrass you, I just want to congratulate you. I just want to shake your hand. I just want to impart something to you. So give them a hand as they come. Come on, all over here. Come on, just make a move out of your seat. Just make a move. Yeah, God bless you as you come. Come on down. Come on down, right over the back here. Some young guys over here. Come on down. I'm going to pray with you. I want to believe God with you. Absolutely remarkable and awesome. Absolutely awesome. I just want to say I love you and I think you're amazing. You're amazing. Somebody not here yet. Who is that? It could be you coming. Is there anybody else you just need to move tonight? This is like, honestly, this is my heart tonight. This is seriously my heart. Literally. If you could know that 35 years ago, I stepped forward just like this. Just like you've walked out here tonight. I got out of my seat. I was like, what the heck? I didn't even remember anything the guy said. I was like, I feel God. I feel God and I want to just get closer to God. I just want, whatever they're talking about, I want some of that. I want some of that in my life. I want some God in my life. I want some of the goodness of God. It's like, I'm just going to give you one more opportunity because I believe there's somebody else and I believe God is challenging your heart tonight. Is that okay? Somebody here tonight, honestly. I don't want you to miss out because I think these are strategic moments. These are strategic moments. It's not by chance that I'm here. It's not by chance that you're here. So somebody, if it's you tonight, if it might be the person beside you, maybe you need to just nudge them and say, what the heck is holding you back? Whoever that is right now. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. There's somebody else right now and you need to find yourself at this altar tonight. Who is it, please? There's at least one other person and you need to find yourself at this altar tonight. I'm just going to wait a moment. Let God just speak to your heart. Let God just speak to your heart. No need to freak out. This is probably the most powerful part of the meeting. No need to freak out. God, just let him speak to your heart. This could be the greatest moment in your life. I seriously mean that. This could be the greatest moment in your life. Whatever your age, whatever your circumstance, whatever your problem tonight, I want to tell you that God loves you. Don't condemn yourself. It's never like that. God just loves. God just loves you. I'm going to just wait one more moment, because I'm chilled out on this. I waited half an hour one night, so this is like nothing. Half an hour I waited one night for one woman to respond. Even the pastor, Dennis is not doing this night, but the pastor was going like, I think that means cut. And I was like, mate, if you could feel what I feel, that the love of God is about to rescue somebody who's going to be a weapon in the hand of an awesome God. And finally, a young woman stepped up, and I don't know whether that's what's happening now, but a young woman stepped up and she came and stood on the altar. The pastor came to me at the end of the meeting and he said, you'll never preach in this church again because you did that half hour altar call and you made everybody embarrassed. 2 years later, he rang me up and he said, mate, we'd love you back in our church. I said, no, you don't. You hate me. He said, no, let me tell you a story about that woman. He said, you waited half an hour for her. He said, I'll just tell you something about it. There are more people she's brought to Christ in our church. She's bringing more people to Christ than any other person in our church. There's not a week goes by that she's not dragging someone in who's broken, someone who's wounded, someone who's hurting. And he said, she's bringing them to the altar and we need you to come back because we want a whole lot more people like her. I tell you, God wants to set us free on the inside of our spirit so we change our world. There's an anointing that God wants to release in our lives. I want to pray for these guys that have responded tonight. I think you are absolutely amazing. I want to shake your hands if I could. What's your name, mate? Calvin? Albert, sorry, I totally missed it. Albert, it's a privilege to meet you, man. I love your shirt. I love that. Yeah, no, bro. That's so cool. Good on you, Albert. What's your name, honey?
Sorry.
Sataita. I got it right. Sataita, it's a privilege to meet you tonight. How old are you, Sataita?
11.
Wow. I reckon you've got an amazing, amazing future. I reckon even as you stand here tonight, that God, this is what the Bible says, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, Sataita, plans for good and not for evil, to give you an incredible future and a great hope. You get ready for that in your life. God's going to put his blessing on your life, even as a young woman. What's your name, Anna? Sorry?
Mahana.
Mahana. It's a privilege to meet you. God bless you, girl. This is a great night for you. See the love of God over you right now. Awesome to meet you. Awesome to meet you. Awesome. Just stand here. I'm going to pray for the whole lot of you in a minute.
Sorry. I'm Glenis.
Glenis, a privilege to meet you, girl. Power of God all over your life. Oh, Jesus, I thank you for this woman. God just removed a whole lot of stuff that's been like generational stuff. Stuff that's been hindering you and holding you back. God just set you free from it tonight. Set you free right there. Sir.
Harry.
No. Good to meet you, man.
Haley.
I can't get it. Okay. Listen, I'll just agree and I'll say, man, this is a great decision you're making tonight, and the power of God's love right now sets you free from the past and gives you a brand new start. Your next step is going to be the best step you ever took. Right now, let me tell it to you.
Nikora.
God bless you, man. Where are you from? Awesome stuff. Awesome. Good decision tonight, mate. God just snapped some change in your life tonight. While you were sitting in your seat tonight, God began snapping change in your life. I believe you and I meet by divine appointment tonight, and that you will never be the same again. Never be the same again. In fact, just turn around and look at me again. Turn right around and look at me again. Because, like I said to the other woman, God says there's a new season in your life. God, the world shifts every day. It does a 24-hour revolution. God says, I've turned you right around. Get ready for a sunrise in your life, man. Get ready for a sunrise. God bless you. Trisha. Katrina. Lovely to meet you, Katrina. God, I thank you for Katrina tonight. I just see so much of... It's like this. This is what I see in your life. I see where there's been so many issues. There's been so many things that you've carried in your life. There's been like you've carried the guilt of it. You've carried the pain of it. But God says tonight, I'm lifting the whole lot off your spirit. I'm lifting it off. And God says, get ready to walk in the freedom of my love. God says, I'm giving that to you tonight. It's your inheritance. It's your inheritance. Thank you, God, for this miracle right here. You're a miracle. Get ready to sing. Get ready to sing. God's putting worship all over you. Worship all over you. All over your life. Get ready to worship him. God's doing that in your world. God bless you, honey. How you doing? What's your name?
Kayla.
Kayla. I like that name. Kayla. Take a step forward from where you are, Kayla. Just take one step toward me. Here's what God says. Your next step's going to be the best step you ever took in life. And something's happened here tonight. God's going to change your world. God's breaking some stuff off that's been too long troubling your mind. The stuff that troubled your mind, you are free tonight in Jesus' name. Free tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for this sister. I just see you come up here right now, and I honor you for that. I honor you for that. I believe there's a miracle starting in your life. Every step you took up here, however hard that may have been tonight, God says every step's a miracle. Every step's a miracle. Here's what's happening right now. God's unlocking your mind. I see it's as you stand here tonight, it's like there's a tight band around your head. God says it's gone in Jesus' name. I'm setting your mind free. Setting your mind free. Setting your mind free in Jesus' name. Now get ready to dream. Get ready to dream. Give me a hand. Get ready to dream. You're going to dream again. God says you're going to dream again. Dreams that never came to fulfillment. God says, get ready to dream again. God says, I'm opening up your world. I'm opening up your spirit. I'm setting you free to dream again. Get ready to dream. Get ready to dream. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, God. Oh, boy. Power of God on your life, girl. I don't know what you do with your life, but I'll tell you right now, get ready for God to put favor on your life. Wherever you go, you're going to become contagious. Contagious. You're going to be catchy. It's like people are going to be aware that something has shifted in the atmosphere. Lord, do it again in her life right now. Do it again. What's your name, sir?
Joshua.
That's like the guy I just talked about. That's like the guy I just talked about, Joshua. God wants you to be on fire for a man. With a name like that, you carry a destiny on your life. In fact, what's on me, I put on you tonight in Jesus' name. That same passion. You're going to get passionate about the things of God. That you won't be able to sleep, you won't be able to rest without being concerned about the destiny of your, of the friends you've got, of people around you. God, put an evangelistic anointing on this young man, Joshua, right now. Stir up a fire within him in Jesus' name and make him hot for you. God, just make him hot for you. God bless you, honey. What's your name?
Adrian,
it's a privilege to meet you. Father, I thank you for this woman, and I thank you for the power of God on her life tonight. And in Jesus' name, right now, I'll tell you what, God just says, I broke some stuff off your life that has been following you. It's like stuff that followed you from the past. God says it's gone, and God says I've cut off the curse of that, and I've set you free to live a life of liberty and a life of freedom in Jesus' name. God, we give you praise for that miracle tonight. Come on, everybody, stand on your feet. Just give God a praise right across here. Holy Ghost, I thank you right now. You caught something tonight. In your spirit, you caught something, and it's like, God stirred your heart tonight, and even as you stand here tonight, God says, get ready for your tomorrow to be different. It says in Numbers chapter 16, I believe, or it might be 17, it says, they put two broomsticks into the Ark of the Covenant, and one came out the next day. God says, there's something about to happen in your life in the next day. In fact, I'll say, give it 24 hours. God's about to do something significant in your world. It says one of the broomsticks budded just because it was in the presence of God. Get ready for fruit. People you've been longing for. It's going to happen in their world. It's going to happen in their world. Come on, let's give God another praise here. Give God another praise. Lord, I declare over your lives that God would activate his power. That in Jesus' name. Honestly, I'm going to hand back to Pastor Dennis now, but there are people here right now standing on this altar. I want you to stand in the presence of God. Pastor Dennis, what are we going to do here? It's like a tent meeting.
Let's go for it, mate.
So here's what I want to say. There are people here right now just need to release the presence of God in your life so that you will, number one, see, so that you will, number one, get close enough people to bandage their wound. So that, number three, you'll be able to carry them to the place of victory in their world and see the power of God set people free. I'm talking about activating evangelism. We're at an evangelism conference right here, and I believe God wants to activate something in our spirit. Jump to the front here right now, just real quick. Come and stand with those who are already there. Holy Ghost, just push your way right through to the front, because I believe God's about to do stuff here. Tamo tukuya babababadondo. I told a story tonight about people who were set free of demonic influence. Now, I don't know who it is, but there's somebody in here tonight who relates to that story. And yes, give it to her, Lord God, I pray. Oh, you've got to love someone who's hungry. Lord, release it in the spirit right now in Jesus' name. Here's what I want to say, though. There's somebody here, and I related that story about demonic influence tonight. There's somebody here who's experienced stuff, and you have had fear reign in your world. Who is that? Because Jesus is going to set you free tonight. That's you. Come up here, honey. Oh, some way make your way through there, because I'll tell you right now. Here's the deal. Nothing happens by chance. When I told that story tonight, I want to tell you right now, that is never ever going to trouble you again. Never ever. Because why? We've got authority through the blood of Jesus. And right now, as I pray for you, I break the curse of that off your life, okay? What is your name?
Rachel.
Jesus, I thank you for Rachel. Here it comes, Rachel, the presence of God. Here's what the Holy Spirit says to me. It's been an assignment. An assignment was set against you. Even as a young girl, an assignment was set in place by the enemy of your soul. And God says, tonight I've cancelled the assignment. Tonight I've cancelled the assignment. I want you to get that. Tonight I've cancelled the assignment. God's saying that to you, okay? Rachel, lift your hands to Jesus right there. The assignment's cancelled. It's going to set your mind. There's going to come a freedom on your mind even right here, right now, right now, right now. Freedom comes on your mind. In fact, there's been like a cloud that seemed, it seemed like there's been this dark cloud. God says the cloud's gone and the sun's about to shine through. In fact, you know what happens when the sun shines through a cloud? It begins to rain. And God says, I'm sending rain on your soul. I'm going to send rain on your soul and you are set free. And I declare peace over you, peace over your home, over your spirit, that you would walk in the victory of God in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we thank you right now. Lift your hands right across this place. God, we just release right now the glory of God, the glory of God. I activate evangelism in your world. I activate who? Souls getting saved. Right there. There it goes. Jesus. That's right. Boy, that was good. Jesus. 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 Somebody just yell out the name of Jesus right now. Come on. He's the only one. He's the only name. The Bible says there is no other name. There's no other way. There's the name of Jesus. When you receive Christ, He puts His power on the inside of you. I believe God's about... So, oh boy, this is what the Holy Spirit's saying. Some of you need to like increase your capacity for the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues every single day. I'm seriously... Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than the whole lot of you. I'm kind of like Paul. I like to speak in tongues a lot. I find that it activates something in the spirit world. I find that the spirit world shifts. The whole atmosphere can change. I tell you what, God's about to do that in your world. As I'm standing right in front of you tonight, your world, the whole world, your world, your environment, that's it, your environment. There's about to come a shift in that. Here it comes right now in Jesus' name. I speak it and loose it into your spirit tonight in Jesus' name. Over every issue, over every circumstance. In fact, your circumstances that seem big are now going to seem nothing compared with the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. God says you won't even look at the circumstances any longer. You're going to look to the Word of God, and the Word of God will declare in your spirit that all things are possible to him that believes. And in Jesus' name, God, I release that on your world right now. Take it. There it goes. The power of God just went right through your life right there. And in Jesus' name, I release. Oh, Jesus, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again, Lord God. Do it again. Do it again. God, do it again. This is your time. This is your hour, Lord God. And right now, fill it with the Holy Ghost. Fill it with the Holy Ghost and power. And power, and power, and power, and power. Jesus, are you two together here? No, I won't put you together then. You two are together. Boy. Oh, boy. Get ready for it, guys. Lift your... Oh, man, how long have you been a Christian for, sir? Sorry? A
couple of months.
I love you already. Lift your hands up to Jesus right now, both of you. God says, I want to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I want to overflow your life. I want your life. There's people you know right now, God's about to unlock their world. God says, for such a time as this, that's what God's saying, for such a time as this. It's like this is a strategic and amazing time in your life. And God says, I brought you into the kingdom for such a time as this. I'm about to unlock the lives of people around you. And God says, that's why I brought you this way first. Because God says, I've put leadership on your lives. I've put a capacity within you that's larger than what you realize. And God says, I'm about to fill it with my glory. Here it comes now in Jesus' name. I put an anointing on you that would cause you to walk and not faint, to run and not grow weary, and to soar on the wings of an eagle. God says, you're going over it, you're not going through it. God says, I'll take you over it, and get ready for the freedom of God to come on your world in Jesus' name. Mighty man of God. Mighty man of God. Touch her with the anointing tonight. God, and again. And again. There goes the power of God right through you, right there. Jesus. Boy, boy, God just said to me, you've got the capacity within you right now to see hundreds of people set free. And God said, all you've got to do is open your mouth. Give a boldness, Lord God. Boldness. I see boldness coming on you. There it is for you, man, too. Boldness in your spirit. Boldness in your spirit. I put it on you. That you're unashamed, unashamed, unashamed. Wow, you too. Prayed for you this morning. Pulled you out of the seat. I reckon it must have been for both of you. It was for you. It was for both of you. Holy Ghost, I thank you right now for what you are about to do. And I believe this sometimes, honestly, we so anticipate. We so anticipate it. I believe it's possible for people to anticipate it today and not discover it tomorrow. And God says this to me, I've hidden treasure in the field. There's treasure hidden in the field. Walk through the field. Whatever you do, sell all you've got to purchase the field. God says, there's something about the field of your lives today. I don't know that that's a physical thing we have to spend money, but I believe there's an investment you make in the field you've got right now. There's treasure in that field. Get ready for it. Here comes the Holy Ghost on it. In Jesus' name, I loose an anointing on that field that the treasure would be discovered in Jesus' name. Get ready for that. Get ready for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. More. More. In Jesus' name. Just release more. Just. What do you need from God tonight? Release from fear. How many others need release from fear tonight? Quickly. Fear. Come in. Here we go. Jesus' name. Give her more. Fear. Get over here if you need a release for fear. Fear is a demonic spirit. It's a demonic spirit. Realize that right now. Fear is a demonic spirit that has come to hinder you, restrict you, and bind you. I want you to pray this prayer with me right now, out loud, right across the house. In Jesus' name, I declare the blood of Jesus was made available for me. And it breaks every curse. It unlocks every shackle. And tonight, I receive my freedom. Fear, let me go. Lift your hands up to him right now. Lift your hands up. And now shout it out. Fear, you are gone. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Holy Ghost, now set her free. I unlock your mind. I unlock your spirit. Let her go. Loose her right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, right now in Jesus' name. Right now in Jesus' name. Broken. The curse is broken. Holy Ghost. Take a step forward, man. Step forward. You're walking into this. You are walking into this, and you will never be the same again. Where you've crossed the road in the past and gone to the other side, God says you're going to walk right into it from now on because you'll be unintimidated. The enemy's not going to intimidate you anymore. There's going to be a boldness and a courage on the inside of you. Holy Ghost, now, now, break it, break it, break it. I break the curse. Thank you, God. How do you feel?
I feel peace.
I knew you'd feel peace. Peace, 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 peace. Peace on this awesome Holy Ghost vessel. Vessel of the Holy Ghost. Instrument of the Holy Ghost. More. There's a lot of people you affect. There's a lot of people you've got connections with. And God says, that's not by chance. God said, I gave you that favor. Now God says, I'm going to empower it. Here it goes. Anointing. 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 Sets captives free. Brings the power of the Holy Ghost to bear on everything you touch. That in Jesus' name, there would be incredible fruit and fruitfulness. Fruitfulness in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, give God a shout of this out. All you guys are going to get some of this. More. Holy Ghost, just a whole lot more. You mighty woman of God. Mighty man of God. How old are you? 12 years old. 12 years old, man. Boy. 12 years old.
Whoa, fire, man. I can just see it in the spirit. There's like waves and waves and waves. It's been the whole thing over this conference, just waves. At one point, it's like a subtle wave, and then all of a sudden, the one that follows, it's violent. That's pretty impressive. Listen, my friend, I cannot leave tonight. If there's anyone sick, we need to see you healed. So we thank God for the miracles that have happened here. We thank God for the deliverances. But if you need a touch, healing touch, then I want you to race to the front as quick as you can. And we're going to pray. Okay, you need a healing touch right now. Okay, anyone else, come to the front. You need a healing touch. Awesome. Let's do business with God. I don't care if you've been prayed for 100 times. It's the persistency. What's your name?
Jane.
Jane, and what are you after?